Two hikers were found safe after an overnight search in Skagway. And Ada sends a brisk letter to Skagway's Borough Assembly to set the record straight. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. Two hikers from Whitehorse got turned around on the Arctic Brotherhood Trail outside of Skagway on Tuesday evening. Members of the Skagway Volunteer Fire Department and the U.S. Coast Guard searched through the night. The hikers were located mid-morning Wednesday, uninjured. The search and rescue call went out just before 9 p.m. on Tuesday, announcing that two hikers were overdue. Volunteers from Skagway's Fire Department and later on members from the U.S. Coast Guard looked for 30-year-old Wei Yang and 22-year-old Yun Zhu overnight. A Coast Guard Jayhawk was deployed from Sitka at about 1:30 a.m. on Wednesday. Petty Officer Lauren Steenson says they coordinated with the Alaska State Troopers and the Skagway searchers and looked for several hours in the early morning with a spotlight. They were on standby as of 9:30 a.m. Wednesday, but the weather had gone downhill. With clouds rolling in and visibility waning, the search was relegated to the ground. Temsco helicopter pilots were also on standby to assist if needed. According to the Alaska State Troopers, the hikers were located cold and wet, but otherwise uninjured, at around 10:30 Wednesday morning. Megan Peters is a public information officer with the troopers. She says the call came in to the Alaska Wildlife Troopers, and while there's no trooper post in Skagway, they often serve as a command center to help with incidents like this one.
A lot of times we use local search and rescue volunteer assets, or we pool assets from other areas, and we manage the search and rescue operation. So just because there's not one physically there, it doesn't mean that we don't have the case and we're not organizing and making sure people are accounted for, because the last thing we want is for somebody to go searching and then become missing themselves.
The 10-mile round-trip trek to the top of AB Mountain and back is a strenuous affair with an elevation gain of about 5,000 feet. And while it's a popular hike, the trail is not as well maintained as some of the easier ones in the area. Emily Rauscher is the Emergency Services Administrator for the Municipality of Skagway.
All of our search and rescue responders are all volunteers, so the time that they commit is invaluable, and it's really appreciated, because none of this is getting paid. Nobody's getting paid while they're doing this. It's all their time that they're donating. They're losing out on sleep, and they're going straight into work the next day. So it's pretty amazing.
Rauscher says more than 20 volunteers showed up to help with the search efforts. The owner of Skagway's ore terminal is speaking out against what it sees as false information the municipality has put out about the facility. The Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority's James Hemseth wrote a letter to the Skagway Borough Assembly recently. In it, he disputes claims made by the borough's attorney, Bob Blasco, and Mayor Mark Schaefer. Hemseth says the incentive for the letter came from a memo Blasco wrote earlier this summer to the Assembly. The memo summarizes a meeting between the municipality and the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation representatives. Blasco talks about Ada putting up roadblocks in the borough's effort to clean up legacy contamination in the ore basin. But Hemseth rejects that claim. He says Ada is, quote, happy to cooperate and has offered several times to allow access to the ore terminal property. He also disputes Blasco's assertion that Ada is one of the parties responsible for that contamination to begin with. Hemseth says suspicions that municipal officials have expressed about continued contamination at the ore terminal are unfounded and a breach of the borough's landlord duties. He says the, quote, continued misstatements about the ore terminal cast a cloud over the facility and its operations, end quote. An executive session to discuss the letter is planned at the end of Thursday's Skagway Borough Assembly meeting. Attorney Blasco will be involved in that discussion. There's a lot of business planned during the public portion of the Skagway Assembly meeting on Thursday. The Assembly will consider an application for the town's first retail marijuana store called the Remedy Shop. Owner Tara Bass applied for a conditional use permit to set up shop in the Business General Zone at 371 3rd Avenue. Her permit was okayed by the Planning Commission. The local government has the right to lodge a protest against the application if it sees fit. The question of how to go about restarting Tidelands lease discussions with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad is also on the agenda. At the last meeting, the Assembly agreed to try and re-engage with White Pass in an effort to clean up and expand the town's port. The Assembly will hear an update on the planned ferry dock refurbishment. An Alaska Department of Transportation spokesman said in the spring that the dock project may happen either this winter or next year. Ferry service is likely to be impacted. The Assembly will also discuss how to fund a proposed local senior center and housing facility. The total project cost is estimated at around $7 million. A resolution to proclaim Skagway's official motto as Gateway to the Klondike is also on the table. The idea to make the tagline official came up during discussions about the borough's new website. The majority of Assembly members favored using Gateway to the Klondike instead of Garden City of Alaska. The meeting is scheduled for Thursday at 7 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. A bill before Congress would speed a timberland trade between the federal government and the Alaska Mental Health Trust. It's part of a larger legislative effort to increase logging in the Tongass National Forest. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The Alaska Mental Health Trust uses its land to make money to fund programs around the state. It owns 1 million acres, about a quarter of it in Southeast. Wynn Menefee of the Trust Lands Office says it wants to exchange a little more than 18,000 of those acres that face opposition to development.
Certain lands that we own next to the communities would be given to the Forest Service in exchange. The Trust receiving some lands that are more removed from communities that would allow development without necessarily influencing the communities as much.
The land is near Ketchikan, Juneau, Petersburg, Wrangell, Sitka, and Myers Chuck on the mainland north of Ketchikan. Southeast Alaska Conservation Council attorney Buck Lindekugel agrees those areas should be closed to logging. He says some listed parcels on or near Prince of Wales should not be part of the trade. He calls one a wild and scenic river corridor near the El Capitan Lodge off the northwest part of the island. Another is a cave-rich parcel near the small town of Nocatee that includes a cavern that may have cultural value. But he says he's optimistic those will be replaced.
So far, the trust has been willing to work with folks to avoid those areas of high conflict, and we're hoping that we're able to continue and resolve those issues.
The Mental Health Trust and the Forest Service negotiated the land swap about a year ago. It's already working its way through the bureaucracy. The Trust's Menefee says the trade and subsequent timber sales would allow more than income. He says it will provide logs for the region's mills, which say they don't have enough to continue operations very long.
In order to make this exchange happen in a reasonable time frame, it needs legislation, because if you do it through just the normal administrative process, it could be 7 years or something like that before we get an exchange completed.
U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski filed the Alaska Mental Health Trust Land Exchange Act in late May.
It was not a question of whether or not the exchange should move forward, but simply to the point of how are we going to assess the value.
The measure is one of a group of recent Murkowski bills meant to increase Tongass logging. Another would create 5 new Alaska Native corporations, each with 23,000 acres of forest land to develop. Other provisions would allow 2 existing Native corporations to sell or swap property that's been logged. Sitka Conservation Society Executive Director Andrew Tomes says Murkowski's bills will hurt the Tongass.
If you look at all of these pieces of legislation, there's a huge potential for a lot of impacts to the remaining forests on Prince of Wales Island and the potential for a lot of impact to the high-value salmon-producing watersheds around the Tongass that are in a state of protection that could be opened up by this legislation.
He's particularly concerned about a provision allowing Sitka's local Native corporation to sell 23,000 acres of land to the Forest Service. It's in Admiralty Island's Cube Cove.
And now in this situation, the government would buy back the lands that were logged, and Sitka made a profit on them, and now the government's buying them back from them. It's a strange situation.
Sciatica President, CEO, and Board Chairman Ken Cameron says the Forest Service wants the acreage because it's an inholding surrounded by a national monument. The Forest Service isn't commenting on any of the legislation, other than to say it will do Congress's will. SEAC says proceeds from the Sciatica sale would allow the corporation to purchase other federal land, possibly on Prince of Wales Island. But Cameron, who would not speak on tape, says its board has not decided what it would do with the proceeds. A bill transferring about 70,000 acres of Tongass National Forest to Sea Alaska passed Congress in 2014. It was described as completing the corporation's land selections, but did not exclude further trades. I'm Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.
For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.